you in them streets.
We coming for you.
And life got you beat.
We coming for you.
The dope boy in the trap.
We coming for you.
These youth getting laid flat.
We coming for you.
The prostitutes and the hopeless.
We coming for you.
We trying to show you what hope is.
We coming for you.
Lost souls can be changed.
We coming for you.
Cause Jesus Christ came to save.
We coming for you.
Listen, from the love of Christ, it's love and sacrifice. Now, there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off.
Amen.
Welcome to Hope Radio. Welcome. 98.7.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us in our continuation of the new lepers. We're talking about the returning citizens.
That's right.
Our correction citizens. What?
That's right. That's right.
Our correctional facilities.
Yeah.
We have the usual suspects, Frankie.
Breathe easy, with you?
And Rachel Ellis, our bling thing. That's not going to go over well. My wife is going to be like, "Bling thing." We're just trying to get radio nicknames, but Rachel, I'll figure out something. All right,
I like to be sad. But, you know, go ahead.
Our sister on fire. She's on fire. She's on definitely on fire.
Oh yeah. Okay, I can work with that one. We'll figure that out.
Sister on fire.
That's right.
And then we have Dan, the man, Koeklar, the man behind the man, because he follows the man.
Amen. That's right, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then the legend, the myth, the megalith, you know, our executive producer.
Macedonia.
So,
in the building.
And we want to thank our returning guests, Vente.
What up,
brother?
Radio World, how y'all doing out there? I'm excited about the Most High and serving him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Frank, he's got a coin out of your book. And then, of course, we have Pastor Cornelius from Hope Street.
And you know it.
In the building.
And then our special guest, Jose Fernandez, the assistant superintendent at the House of Correction.
Glad to be here.
And I'm your host, Richard Brown. I'm excited to talk about this particular subject in our series, because this one, besides the last one, which we'll talk about, about the reality of corrections, which is our last one. And the reality of corrections is that there are people behind bars for a reason.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk about that later. But this particular subject is important to me because it hits home. Mm-hmm. It encompasses a lot of the attitude that the church shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And the attitude that the church should have.
That's right.
All in one, you know, and the frustration of how this, if not done by the church correctly as God told us to, will bring a reproach upon the church, which is just unfair because we could have prevented it.
Amen.
And it's fair if we're not doing it like we're supposed to, because people think like the church shouldn't be judged by the world.
Hmm.
Well, when somebody comes up to me and says, "Man, that's not Christian," I ask myself one or two questions. What did I do to make this person think that I'm not acting like a Christian?
Hmm.
And are they justified in that thought?
That's right.
Because if I didn't show them Christ-like behavior, even if I'm mad upset, That's my fault that they just judge me.
Correct.
Mm. And I'm not going to sit up here and get on my high and mighty horse. You know, how you judging me, you know, and act like I'm better than them. I'm supposed to be better than them in the love that I show.
That's correct. That's right.
My enemy, my friend, and anybody else. And
correct,
so on that, you know, we had Pastor Dan read from the book of Acts,
mm-hmm.
How the Lord set apart Saul and Barnabas for his work.
Mm-hmm.
And what we want to talk about today in this series, The New Leper, is the responsibility that the body of Christ should have when it comes to returning citizens.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And I'm of the mind, and the Captive Project Ministry is of the mind, the first people in the forefront of bringing these redeemed brothers and sisters back into citizenship should be the church.
That's right.
We should be the
Amen.
First people there. And
Tell
so how I want to start this is I want to hand it over to you, Pastor Hernandez. Pastor Fernandez.
They're going to P-word.
And so what I want, Jose, I want you to kind of give us your perspective of this in general.
Okay. So first thing I wanted to start out with was I just want to say to all the volunteers that support not only the House of Correction and the things that we're doing, but anybody that is called to go into prison ministry,
mm-hmm. yes.
Man, I can't say enough how much we appreciate all of you and your willingness to take on that task. And there's a lot of people out there that are called to do it and they don't. And mm-hmm. and I think everyone needs to listen to that still small voice. And if you're called to that ministry,
Amen.
Get in it and do it because Amen. We're needed out there. And make sure you're being called and sent.
Amen.
Because the one thing that I require at our facility is that you have an accountability.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
I have an obligation to protect those people that are within my custody.
Amen. Uh-huh.
Come on and now. That includes offering them ministries, and sometimes that means different faiths that adhere to the edicts of their religion, especially Christianity.
Amen.
So when you come in, you need to be sent by your bishop or your board. Mm-hmm. And I get a lot of calls from people that want to come and do this, that, and the other because you play cards with people and you all of a sudden somebody had a great idea one day.
Mm-hmm.
And don't do that disservice to yourself or
Amen.
To us and
That's
the
right.
people that are incarcerated.
And I like the point that Ooh. You bring out because that accountability is necessary because you have the last thing that these brothers and sisters that are locked down need is inconsistency.
Right. Mm.
Because what happens is when you have an accountability, when somebody has sent you, if that person falls short, guess who's responsible Ooh. For replacing that person?
That's
the
right.
church,
right.
The board of the overseers or what have you. Because like Dan, as a pastor, when you send people in any ministry or whatever, if they're responsible for it, the church is primarily responsible for that. Correct?
And there's got to be right. some accountability. I mean, you can't just go somewhere without somebody that you're reporting to
right.
to say,
right.
hey,
right.
you've got to be able to validate what you're saying. I make mistakes. I need somebody to oversee me.
Mm-hmm.
I need somebody to make sure I'm on track.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing for anybody going into the House of Corrections. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be preaching the gospel in a difficult situation like that, you got to have a system that's going to support you.
Amen.
Yeah,
right.
And I'd also like to add that to the pastors or board members that are sending people into correctional facilities, you need to be checking with them periodically to see what they're preaching on
yeah.
your
Amen.
Behalf
Amen.
And with your ministry's name on it.
That's right. Mm. That's
because
right.
people are coming in to that correctional facility and they may be starting out okay, but then allowing their own personal biases
yes,
in there,
yes,
and you don't know. So I would say to all those pastors and leaders out there, when you have somebody going into ministry, regular schedule me. What are the curriculum? Show me. You know, even survey the inmates. How do you like this ministry? How is this person delivering the message on our behalf. You know, you can do those kind of things. I know myself, we survey inmates, and I'm sorry I use the term inmates, but that's like ingrained 27 years.
No, don't worry about it. We're detoxing people just one correctional person at a time.
That's it. I'm trying to get to offenders, and then I'll get to reentering citizens. I apologize for that. It's just ingrained. But yeah, I would love to see accountability and some here's the materials you're going to preach on. Maybe something that's in line with being taught at the church, you know, at the same time. Why not?
Right. And I think that what that does is make a connection to the church. Right. If you do, especially if you do a consistency. Now, what I want to do, I want to change gears a little bit, and I want to go to Vente. And what I want, Vente, you know, you've recently, you know, come out of the correctional facility.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that you have a lot to say, and so don't worry about it. We got the stun gun to bring you down. But I want you to talk specifically about the church's initial reaction to you when you first got out and you trying to connect with the church, having gotten saved, and you're trying to connect. What are some of, and I'll be more poignant, did you run into any prejudices? You know, and then Cornelius, I want to get your perspective too, especially since your testimony is so unique in that many believe that you should not have been incarcerated in defending your sister in this particular situation. But I want you guys to talk to me about any initial prejudices that came from the church when you got out.
Well, you know, I want to say this first and foremost as a church advocate, because I don't want to seem like I'm angry or about what I'm going to say about the church. Yeah, I experienced many prejudices, and that's because of how I went in. You know what I mean? I went in as a terrorist. You know, I came out as a believer. So initially, you know, that they had some biases and some prejudices because of they didn't know what to expect from me. They didn't know if I really changed, if my change was genuine, or was I playing change, because I had so many times when I was in, I told the Most High that if he get me out of the situation that I would get out and serve him, but I didn't make good on my covenant.
Wow.
I came out and I went out and just continued to do the same thing. So naturally, that's going to be some cause for concern when you meet a person that don't know that you have genuinely changed or not. So they, you know, their perspective was, okay, here he is again, you know, saying with that I've changed spiel, but now where are the fruits at? You know what I mean? And they didn't give me a chance initially for fruits to be shown. They just, you know, automatically closed doors. Doors weren't open for me. You know, people wouldn't let me in immediately. However, as I stayed out and I continued to, you know, be upright and do the right things, you know, doors started to open to where, you know, the places of worship, you know, started to embrace me and actually see that I was, you know, truly, genuinely changed and begin to help me grow in my faith walk, you know, because due to the change and due to the initiative that I put in, you know, I applied myself. I didn't just, you know, come there expecting something to just be magical or something to fall out the sky. I actually read the scriptures, attended Bible studies, attended worship, you know, hung out with believers and things of that nature. And that opened them to me. It warmed them over to right. You know, the new.
And we'll approach that because I want to, because there's a particular thing that I want to ask you and Cornelius about once we hear Cornelius' perspective. There's some specific things I want to ask about.
Well, for me, it was a bit different. Most of the places that I went when I initially got out had already heard about me and were in a way expecting me. And maybe they were looking at me like, is he going to live up to our expectations of what we heard about this guy? Is it true? You know, but I was warmly received, and I've had a good experience with the church. It was my experience with the church prior to getting out, how I felt about the black church in particular, which is what we can talk about at a later time, because I wasn't too happy with them. I was even going to do my thesis on the black church, but I'll tell you about that.
Are you telling about it now?
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I was. It was my intention when I was doing my thesis to write on subtitle, titled The Black Church, subtitle, Is There a Place for Me? And the reason why I wanted to do this is because I see all these people of color in these prisons. I was in 13 different institutions. Mm. All these volunteers coming in are primarily white.
Oh,
I said, where's the black church?
Oh, amen, amen.
You know, and it kind of infuriated me because I'm saying, you know, what the Word of God, we read about what the Word of God says about when I was in prison and you visited me. I said, does that not apply to the black church? You know.
That's a topic.
Hold on.
Suburban church.
Hold on. Breathe a little bit. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah.
Okay. Excuse me. Yeah. And but the fact that I would have had to have some of these churches come in so I can interview them to find out what's the problem, why come y'all ain't sending people here, this, that, and then the other. I said I wouldn't have enough resources available to me in order to do a proper thesis, so I switched topics. And, you know, but I'm still considering doing it.
Well, write a book,
you. In fact, there is a book that's called Revising the Black Church.
Yeah.
And I got it. I'm gonna share it with you.
Wow. Okay.
You should go ahead and expand on that, because one of the things that was told to me, I went to a conference a couple years ago, CMCA, which is Correctional Ministries and Chaplain Association. That conference, and there was a brother down there that was speaking on this particular topic. And one of the things he said that resonated with me was that whenever the church gets involved, what happens is they send the less of those that are as far as on a mature level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It isn't the bishop or the pastor or the minister, but it's a lay person who is tackling the milk of the word, right?
Usually
right.
A brand new Christian.
Right, usually a brand new Christian. And then they get in there and then they make a babe of a Christian as well. Someone that's not able to grow. And so that was one of the things he said. He said, now, why is it that the church do that? And so I'm thankful that, you know, being a minister at my church, I go in and I'm involved in reentry, right? And I'm involved in in-prison mentoring. But what I love about some of the things that's being stated is that when we go in, it's not just about preaching the word. Because brothers will tell you, we hear that year in and year out.
Right.
It's about the intimacy that's being birthed with the individual. Amen. You're hearing their stories. Amen. You're hearing some of the things they're tackling. And then we are all looking and beholding God together,
amen,
building that community so we can receive them back to the community.
Amen.
So,
amen. So
amen.
What I want, and this is going to be a hot subject, right? Do part B, but Jose, you were going
to
say.
I just wanted to tag off on Cornelius's comment. Almost all of the volunteers and the ministries that support the House of Correction are white suburban ministries.
Exactly.
Nearly all of them.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing at all.
Nobody's going to psychoanalyze it or anything like that. The reality of it is that it ain't just white people in prison. It ain't just black people in prison.
Nor does it represent the body of Christ.
Exactly. Because we're talking about the body of Christ itself.
Right.
The responsibility isn't just to the suburban brothers and sisters. And we're not talking about a financial thing either. We're not talking it costs, because it don't cost money to go and do ministry. That's so it's not an economic situation whatsoever.
No, sir.
The question is, Dan, hold on, but Dan's white.
Because let me ask you this. Of all of those white suburban Christians who are going into the prisons and ministering there, how many prisoners are coming back to worship then in the church that they're from?
And that's the point. That's the point. And that's why, and I know that there are churches like Elmbrook, Shepherd of the Hills, that direct them to African-American churches because they have a relationship. Like Shepherd of the Hills had a relationship with us. They have a direction for
Free at Last, and so on and so forth,
Hope Street, and so on and so forth. So a lot of suburban churches are connected because they recognize that.
Yep.
They
know that.
Here's the indictment. Why are we letting the suburban church be the middleman?
And it shouldn't be.
And it shouldn't be.
That's
Someone
to the point that I was going to make.
Yeah.
So if we have been recognized nationally as a place that has mass incarceration happening and top in the country, why isn't the demographics that's ending up in prison coming out of those neighborhoods where there are multiple urban churches not attaching themselves to a reentry program to receive those individuals that are coming out of the very communities that they're ministering to?
I'll even go a step further with that. A lot of the churches that represent those areas do come, but only if there's grant funds available.
Wow.
And then when the grant funds are gone,
that's indictment.
Okay, they're now, gone. Okay, wow. Let's back off of that one a little bit because
let it breathe. Can't say amen, say ouch.
Let's say ouch on that one. Rachel, you've been mysteriously quiet. Please, my wife would say, give us some wisdom. You know, what are your thoughts?
No, I do know our churches. Going into churches, yep. If you heard about Word Outreach Bible and Training.
Yep, Pastor Skip and Pastor Melva. So, yep.
Yeah, they go into, and I've seen women come into the church, women ministry.
Come closer to the mic.
Well, I have seen women come out, and they go in there and sit with them, have devotions, and give daily devotions to them. We do sow into it. So I do know it's a part, but it's more needed for more servants to go out into the community.
And thank you for bringing that point up because
it's needed.
Make no mistake about it, there are urban churches that are doing it.
Right.
But it's sad because that's the new generation. Because Pastor Skip and Melvin, they represent a new generation.
Yes.
And just to let you know, your pastor saved my life in high school, just so you know, and I'll tell you about that later. I embarrass him when I do it because he did. He saved my life. But anyway, the reality of it is that we do have churches that are doing it, to be sure. And but, Frank, the point that you brought up is that we got – this disparity of urban churches. You throw a rock in Milwaukee, you're going to hit a bar or a church.
On every corner.
Okay. And the reality of it is that disproportionate amount of churches, there should not be an exception or a shortage of urban representation of ministers in the House of Corrections, especially since there's such a disproportionate of black men in the correctional system. I mean, that I'm thinking this should be a rescue mission for the urban church.
Exactly.
Not a reason to
not
say
not only that,
back
think about
off.
How many people that's involved in congregations, whether suburban or urban, that has a family member or someone that's incarcerated. That's
right. What you're maybe what, one, two people away from somebody that's incarcerated as far as the urban community is concerned. It's like, look, I appreciate that you're trying to fight for my civil rights and you're doing all these marches, but march yourself into the ministry and come and help be part of my reformation.
Absolutely.
Because I can watch you on TV all day screaming and yelling about how it's unfair that I'm incarcerated, and I appreciate that, and I love that, and that's wonderful. But you know what? I would love to see you face-to-face on a regular basis to help me get through this.
Yeah. One time I was discussing this issue with a volunteer while in the prison, and I was told that he said, you're right. Yeah, there is a shortage. You know, there's some coming, but it could be more. But what about you?
Amen.
What you going to do when you get out?
And that's what Frank and Jose were just talking about. Yep.
The testimony that brothers like you and I have that was inside and seen visitors that came in and minister to us and lit a fire in us. And that's why I go in.
Amen.
That's why you're working at Hope Street. That's why I'm working with Genesis in Milwaukee. And we're doing that. But the problem is it needs to be a discipleship process to duplicate the fire we have.
Amen.
Imagine if each one of those churches in the city went down each block and found out who was incarcerated on their block and went to visit them.
Oh, my goodness. There it is.
Wow.
That's deep.
And mic drop.
And that's actually going to be.
That's about it.
Yeah. That's. Hold on a second, everybody.
Mic drop.
That's a mic drop. And so our executive producer is going to get these sound effects and right. stuff like that for
me. He over in the corner cringing.
Right. But the thing is that, and that's going to segue into our next discussion when we talk about the big issue, and that is the sex offender.
Yeah.
Because that is a huge issue, because that's kind of where we got the title for this segment, The New Lepers, because
that's it.
The sex offender is in the city of Milwaukee is virtually a vagabond.
Amen.
And he's homeless everywhere.
Yeah, and they're everywhere. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how we can serve them, our next and help them in this process. But in these last couple minutes, I want to ask everybody, I'm gonna go around and I'm ask everybody. And remember, Vente, everybody's got to be able to answer.
It's two minutes.
It's 2 minutes, but less now. But how can the church help serve?
One word.
All right. In one word, how can the church help serve these returning citizens?
Obey.
Reception.
Redemption.
The unconditional love.
Open the doors to them.
Don't wait till they return. Do it while they're still in custody.
Yeah. Amen. That's what I'm talking
and
about.
Look how preachers, you can tell all the preachers because they went from one word. And so thank you for joining us.
Peace.
Hope Radio 98.7.
Unconditional love.
Hope Radio 98.7. Thanks for tuning in to the Captive Project Radio Discipleship Time every Friday, 7 to 7:30 p.m. on your FM dial. You can also like us on Facebook at Hope Radio, or you can check out our live streams on Discipleship Radio.
Or check out the website, www.thecaptiveproject.com. Or hit us with an email, thecaptiveproject@gmail.com. Or drop us a line at 414-771-6000.
In his name, man.